today come because Adam sinned and fell. Now God has a plan. And because of that plan, because we have come to receive the offer of God, that we are here tonight because of that plan. What do you know of that plan? Oh dear friends, I've told the story of a friend of mine. And he was talking to me. He says, you know, you Christians say you have a God and you have a plan of salvation and God is in charge. You know, I have a big company and a big concern. And if my general manager were to manage the company the way that God manages the earth, I would have given him the sack long ago. How ignorant. God's plan is a perfect plan, conceived of before the foundation of the world. No big bang, dear friends. God has a plan God created, and it is all recorded in this one book. And because of this plan of God that we are here tonight, you're here to consider how that plan was announced in the garden from the very moment that man fell. God was not taken by surprise, but he had the plan already and he announced it. Right there in the garden, God said, the seed of woman will crush, will bruise the head of serpent. And in Hebrews 2:14 it says, he, by his death, destroyed him who has the power of death. This is the gospel. The seed of woman, Jesus Christ, will bruise, will crush the head of the serpent, the Satan. So this is the plan. When Paul contemplated what a wonderful God we have, do you realize? Do you appreciate? Do you thank him for his great wisdom? What did Paul say? Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of our God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Oh yes, when we think of the plan of God, how it has been worked out, not just worked out, but have foreshadows so that man will have no second thought, no doubt whatsoever what God has got in mind, what he is doing for us. So, after the announcement came the story. God called a people. A people out of the mass of humanity to become a people of his own, a specially chosen people. Do you know who they are? Today they are hated and they are being victimized by a word called anti-Semitism. Oh, no other people on earth. But because Jesus came from this race of people, the Jews. Now we want to study the story of the Jews. And this is where this perfect plan is worked out. We have read and we want to read again. Exodus 12. Chapter 12 of Exodus. It is a most interesting story. As we read, as I always say, please mark your Bible and at the same time pray. Pray that the Spirit of God will instruct you. and open your understanding. What are we reading in Exodus chapter 12? Who are these people who are being saved out of the land of Egypt? Now, Egypt is a place you can go to. It is a place in geography, a place in history. And we are recalling what God worked out. What happened in a place called Egypt? Some 3,500 years ago. Now let us see. How did the people of God come to be in Egypt? Do you remember the story of Joseph? And how the Jews all moved down, Jacob and family, 70 souls. Because of a famine, and they had moved to the land of Egypt. And there they grew. Until there were some 2 million people in the land of Egypt. Now that is the setting. Chapter 12. God had a plan. Egypt was a kind of nursery for his people to grow. From 70 souls, over 430 years, they had become 2 million. What did they do to do in Egypt? Egypt is not their home. God's plan is to take them out. And the plan of delivering them is a kind of model for us, how he will deliver us out of the hand of Satan. Satan here is represented by Pharaoh. Can you all follow? Now we read. That is the setting. God is saving his people, and this is a kind of forerunning, a preview of how God will save us. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, in the land of Egypt, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month. Verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, as I said, 2 million people. And God had chosen one man, Moses, that he should lead the people out of Egypt. This is a picture of God saving us out of the bondage of Satan. Here the people of God are in the bondage of Pharaoh. You see the parallelism? Yes, the people of God, which are all of us here, are being saved out of the hand of Satan. Here is the representation, foreshadowing. Verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel. Now, how do you speak to 2 million people? It is a mystery that we cannot understand fully, except some kind of speculation in that sense. How to pass the word around to 2 million people? There must have been a lot of leaders that were appointed that came to Moses, and Moses told them. Second part of this verse, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them a lamb. Here is the foreshadowing of the Lamb of God. You remember, when our Lord Jesus came on the scene in the land of Israel, he was announced the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God. Every man is to take a lamb representing Jesus Christ. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for one house. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Yes, a male of the first year. And this is the representation of Jesus Christ. Without blemish. The sinless Son of God is here being portrayed in the saving of Israel out of Egypt must be by a male of the first year, a full-grown lamb. Verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly shall kill it. Here is a picture of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, to be killed by unclean hands. For no sin of his own, but for our sins he was killed. Here is the Lamb of God being put to death. Verse 7. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of your houses. Verse 8. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now pause a moment and think. Foreshadows of the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. On that night of nights, all of Israel, representing all of us believers, all who hear the gospel are included in this picture of coming event of God. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat in the sixth, in with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, ready to move, because this is the Lord's Passover. This is a foreshadowing of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue to remember the death of our Lord Jesus at the Passover feast, which is the Lord's Supper. Do you see this here? Verse 12. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. That great historic land of Egypt was going to witness the greatest miracle of all time. 2 million Jews were going to be liberated from bondage. A picture of believers in the years to come, in all the ages after Jesus Christ, when the gospel is preached, and many women believe they are set free and liberated from the clutches of Satan, even as the Israelites on that night will be liberated from the hold of Pharaoh. Verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. It will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. It's amazing slaughter and killing of the firstborn of Egypt by a miracle of God, by the angel of death. But all the Israelites were protected by the blood. Here is a picture, a foreshadow of our salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. Continue to read, please. Here the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, says the Lord. I am the Lord. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is the song we have just sung. God spares us when he sees the blood. Even as on that night of the Passover, the first Passover, when the angel of death came, every house was inspected. And every house that did not have the blood was entered into. And there was death. Amazing, miraculous, horrible. Death to the firstborn in every Egyptian house. But the angel Over every house that had the blood, that house was spared. A foreshadow of God's salvation to all of us. When you came to Jesus Christ, the gospel was presented to you clearly. Christ died for our sins. There is no other gospel, only one gospel. There is no other way you can be saved, only one gospel, only one way. Christ died for our sins. You know, the greatest gospel preacher never knew this. Never knew that Jesus Christ died and rose again to be victor over death. Until he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, this man was the one who said, "Amazing wisdom of God." And from that day he became the servant of Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul. Saul, the enemy of the gospel, became Paul, born servant of Jesus Christ. Now come to verse 13. It says here, "When I see the blood," the second part, the second half, "I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial." What is this, a memorial? You must never forget it. That's why we have the Lord's Supper here every so often. That we may remember what God has done for us. God loved us, gave his only begotten Son to go to the cross for your sakes, for my sake, and there to die and there to shed his blood. Only the blood of Jesus can save us as that night. Do you know? Nothing could break the hold of Pharaoh. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb. 9 plagues did not move him. All kinds of punishments over all the land. And every time, you know, I was reading the Word of God in Exodus. 15 times, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He considered, "How can I let these 2 million slaves go? How can it be? They work for me. For this country, 400 years, they must continue to be slaves." He hardened his heart. Nothing could break that hold, except what? The Lamb of God, the seed of woman, will bruise Satan's head. It's fulfilled here on that night of the first Passover. So the blood was shed and 2 million Jews were released. Verse 14. Please see the word of God. "It shall be for you a memorial." Never forget it on this night when your fathers on that night obeyed the word of God and killed the lamb and put the blood on the front door of your houses. Keep this as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Keep it as a feast by the ordinance forever. Amen. God's plan was enacted, foreshadowed, on this day to be executed in person by the Lord Jesus Christ when he came. Now we are in the gospel age to declare the salvation of God to every creature. There is no other way. God has only one way because he made us and he opened the door of salvation to us by his own Son, dying on the cross for us. Now the salvation story does not end there. The salvation story continues. Please turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Here is Jesus Christ about to ascend to heaven. Matthew 28, verse 19, verse 18 before it. All power is given unto me. This is Matthew 28, 18. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ did not die and bury and rot away, but on the third day he rose from the dead. This is the gospel. This makes the gospel credible. Do you know, the disciples did not believe it. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, they did not believe it. We have the famous case of the doubting Thomas. Oh, you, the rest of the 12, the 10 remaining disciples told him, he will not believe it. He says, I must see for myself. Not only see, but I must touch his nail wounds to prove to me that Jesus Christ indeed is risen from the dead. Now this is part of the salvation story. My friend, who is a great businessman and who says, I told you the story, if my GM has so messed up the company, I'll sack him. Why is the world in great turmoil today? He cannot understand. Because his heart is hardened. He has not received the Lord Jesus Christ. But we who have received Jesus, we understand. Verse 18 of Matthew 28. We know the Lord Jesus not only died, not only took away our curse, not only took away our sins, but here he is, risen from the dead, and about to return to his heavenly home. This is gospel. For if Christ had not risen from the dead, we are of all men most miserable, so says the Apostle Paul. Tonight we have hope. Tonight we can rejoice. All because Christ not only died, but he rose from the dead. Verse 18 of Matthew 28. Jesus came and spoke to the disciples on that occasion. And what did he say? All power is given unto me. All power means all power. In heaven and in earth, everywhere. He has all power, except that today he is waiting to come down again. And when he comes, he will manifest all power over everything on earth. But in the meantime, we have a commission, verse 19. That commission is given to you and to me. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is what we have done, which is what caused us to come to Pandan Gardens 33 years ago and plant the seed of the gospel that men and women may come and hear the gospel and be delivered from everlasting death into everlasting life. This is the gospel. And that gospel was enacted during that first Passover. This is the meaning of the Passover. Now our Lord Jesus says, while I am about to rise, return to heaven, I'm giving you a commandment. This is called the Great Commission. Read it, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our coming here tonight will be in vain if we do not receive this commandment to go and to tell all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, all those who believe, to prove that they believe, to prove the efficacy of this great plan of God, let them confess. Let belief and faith be demonstrated in open confession and baptism, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, of the earth, of the world. Now, Acts chapter 1, please. Verse 9. Acts 1, chapter 9. To make the story complete, for Jesus Christ did not just rise and go to heaven and say goodbye and that's it. No, dear friends. Verse 9. When Jesus had spoken these things that we have just read, and while they looked on, he was taken up in the cloud and received out of their sight. And while they looked, now here is the crunch. Please note. While they looked toward heaven as he went, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels. Do you know that in every important event that was enacted by our Lord Jesus Christ, there was an angel or more than one angel. When he was born, there were angels singing to his praise. When he rose from the dead, there was angels at the tomb. And now that he's gone to heaven, angels appeared. Listen to what they say. Verse 11. You men of Galilee, I say, you men in Pandan Gardens, Calvary Church. Listen to this. Why stand you gazing to heaven? The same Jesus who is taken from you today that you see him. Amazing sight. Once only, never before, never again, that there is a group of people watching and Jesus rising to heaven. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The foreshadowing of the Jesus Christ sacrifice does not stop there, does not stop with that night of the release of 2 million Jews. No, that was only the release. Now we have Jesus Christ rising from the dead, rising to heaven, and then the angel says, look, there is a meaning to Jesus going. This same Jesus that you see taken to heaven shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. This is the gospel, the complete account of the gospel. The foreshadowing is to assure us God's plan was one plan. The salvation and the release from the grip of Satan is one plan. And that plan goes on. The Savior who breaks the serpent's head will also conquer Satan, rise from the dead, go back to heaven, and lastly, he will come again. This is part of God's plan. Do you know it? If so, heed what the angel said. You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing to heaven? This same Jesus shall come again, and he has left us a great commission. I say, dear friends, coming to worship here will be of no avail if we do not feel the need to go and tell How are you telling your children? How is your gospel witness in the home? This is part of God's plan of salvation, that every witness, everyone who has received the gospel, is to be a witness, to go. Verse 11. I read it again. You men of Pandan Gardens, right? This is a message. Listen carefully. Why do we gaze into heaven saying, Jesus has gone? This same Jesus who is taken up from you to heaven shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. Until he comes again, we have a commission. Dear friends, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We have heard the gospel. We have received the gospel. We have heard the command of our Lord Jesus to go. Let us go. We don't have to go very far. You have your home, your neighbors. Let us go and tell that Jesus saves. And Jesus not only saves, but he's coming again. And when he comes, all our labors for him will be rewarded. We close with the hymn, Jesus Saves. The hymn is 297.